Thanks for tuning in to Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe Vinny and the Jets. Be sure to follow us at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Blatarocca.
And welcome to another edition of Jet Nation Radio's Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Tonight we're going to go over a bunch of topics that I've been hearing on Twitter and rumored and with Matt Forte and is Curley going to be on the team? Now I'm hearing Kirk Cousins and QBs in the first round. There's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, a lot of random stuff. But I'm excited to get into it. We're now officially, you know, in the off season now that the Broncos won the Super Bowl, who Vinny picked. So now and then today is the first day to tag people, so we have a 2-week period. So now it's like what, until March 2nd we have to tag Wilkerson, So we're gonna be looking at that. A lot of things to talk about. Vinny, who broke his arm last week, is back. What's up, man?
Hey, no, another day in the life, baby. So, you know, always could be worse, you know. Broke my arm, but hey, yeah, it happened. Broke my arm, got a concussion. It was terrible. It was just a terrible day.
Describe to me and the people listening exactly how you broke your arm, because I still have not heard this story, actually.
All right. It was basically a football play. I was playing, it was an intramural basketball game, and there was about 5 seconds, about 10 seconds left in the game. My team is down by 1 point. So, you know, and the other team is inbounding the ball. So we're all playing press coverage, but the guy I was guarding was at the total opposite end of the court. So they were having trouble inbounding the ball. So one of the guys on the other team tried, you know, running down court where I was, and the guy inbounding basically just threw it up like a football pass. So I make a run for the ball, and it's basically, you know, the one guy that they tried inbounding the ball to was running from the start of the court to midcourt, and I met him there. We were both running full speed, and I jumped up. He took my legs out. I fell down really, you know, pretty hard. I jumped really high, and I broke my glasses. As soon as I fell on the ground, I knew something was wrong, because I felt my arm just, you know, I felt the bone. It was pretty disturbing. So I had surgery Sunday. I got two metal plates in here. I got about 18 screws, 20 stitches, 12 staples. It's pretty disgusting. But hey, could be worse. You know, it is what it is, buddy. But hey, that's in the past now.
Yeah, the luckiest kid, but at the same time, the most unlucky kid in the world, where you'll break your arm and then get in a car accident, but then you'll freaking win the lottery the next day. But before we start the show, just mention, everybody check out the JetNation.com forums, thousands of topics, thousands of threads and things like that to check out, conversations between Jets fans. Call in if you want, 646-716-4697. And then next week we were saying that we're going to have Jason Fitzgerald on the show from OverTheCap.com for a couple of weeks, but he's actually booked for next week now, so he's a contract type of guy. He'll be a really good listen next week on the show. But, Vinny, we have a lot of things to talk about, so we're going to start with the things, like the little things. Like, I never got your opinion last week, obviously, as you were out with a broken arm and Glenn was here. Do you have any opinion or feeling on the Dre Archer signing? Guy runs, you know, 4.26, 40, second fastest in combine history. Do you have a problem with the signing? Because there are people who really hated it, and there's people who really loved it and think he's going to be on Leon Washington. You know, what do you think?
How can people hate it? It makes no sense. It's one of the lowest possible risks a team can make. Also, considering that every running back is a free agent, so hey, you know, never know what you're going to get. This guy, what, he's 174 pounds. He's 5'7¾". Very tiny guy. I mean, hey, the Jets need some. They need some explosiveness out of the backfield, and right now they have nobody. Literally, they have nobody signed. So, I mean, hey, the worst thing that can happen is they cut him and you know, in camp. That's the absolute worst thing possible. So, you know, you really can't hate on the signing.
Yeah, no, it's a special teams guy that come and try to help our dreadful special teams, which I said to Glenn last week that nobody knew that Marcus Williams was going to be a stud when he was cut from the Texans
exactly.
and came to our practice squad. So you try him out, people say, oh, it didn't work with the Texans. Well, a lot of guys don't work with some teams and then come to a different team. You look at, what was it, Aaron Maben, in, it was 2013, 2012,
yeah.
when he came here, had a good year,
yeah.
and then next year didn't have too good of a year. But even if you get a decent year of production out of him, you know, just you got to pick around, and I like
Very
that,
low
how
risk.
You did that. Yeah, exactly. And now, before we get into Wilkerson, some trade scenarios from Wilkerson, Matt Forte, Curley, Kirk Cousins, a couple of these things. Something that I want to do before the Jets start getting all these new players and free agency rolls around March 9th and we get into the combines, so we're not worried about our own players. But before all that happens, Vinny, I just wanted to know some of your breakout, not necessarily breakout players of 2016, but players you're excited to see come back, whether it be on offense. You're looking at a guy like, in my opinion, Amaro, who I'm very interested to come back, 38 receptions, 345
yeah.
yards his first year, led all rookies in catches and yards, at least from the tight end position. So I'm excited to see what he can do come back from this offense. You know, what are some other guys, including Amaro, if you think so too, that you're
mm-hmm.
excited to see, you know, come back, whether it be a veteran, a rookie, a guy who was hurt, whatever it be. Let's start with offense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Jason Morrow is going to be a huge addition to this team coming back. It's basically just like signing another guy. But another breakout, if you're talking about breakout type of players, I'm looking at this offensive line. I'm looking at Brian Winters. And he's a guy who's been a little inconsistent throughout his first few years here with the Jets. But he's the type of guy, I think, who, if he can come in and solidify, you know, the right guard position, that would be something huge. Because right now the Jets, you know, they're looking for answers at the offensive line. You know what you're going to get out of Marshall. You know what you're going to get out of Decker, hopefully. And that's, you know, the same 1,000-plus yard production that we've been seeing, you know, with at least with Decker and then with the first year with Brandon Marshall. Not saying Brandon Marshall is going to give us another 1,500-yard season, but I think he's a guy who – He's one of the best, and he proved it this year. Especially if they can keep together, you know, Decker, Marshall, and Fitzpatrick, those three right there, that chemistry. I mean, it was pretty good in their first year. I only can imagine what it'll be down the line. And then another guy on this offense is Quincy Nua. You know, we've seen what he did this year. It had him all over the field. Especially, you know, it's funny you mentioned Jason Morrow, because if Jason Morrow can come back and he gives us the same production he did his rookie year, 38 catches, 40 catches. And you factor in what Quincy Nua can do. He can help even more. He can help block an offensive line that was 20th in the passing game. I think with 22nd in the rush, something along those lines. An offensive line that's just say that's going to need help if they keep everybody intact next year. So Quincy Nua is a guy who they moved all around the field, who can, you know, play H-back, he can play tight end, he can play receiver, hell, even give him the ball in the backfield even. So, I mean, I think he's a guy who, you know, coming back the next season with the pieces they have at receiver, you know, he can have a nice, not really a breakout year, but a guy who can give us 30 catches, but those catches be really meaningful like they were, you know, down the stretch this year. And, you know, just an honorable mention, Devin Smith, you know, it's going to suck. I think it sucks right now with Devin's, considering, you know, his rookie year, how he missed camp as a rookie, how I know you mentioned every time his name comes up how important a training camp is to a rookie. He's going to miss that for his first 2 years as a Jet. But if he can come back and be healthy, we saw the little flashes that Devin Smith provides, you know, when he lines up in the slot, even when he lines up on the outside, that burst, that first step burst, something that the Jets have lacked, you know, down the stretch this year. So if he can come back, whenever he does come back off the torn ACL, I think he's a guy who can really, you know, provide a spark for this offense.
You know, that's three good names, but I'll leave Brian Winters out of it because we're not even necessarily sure he's going to be the starter. We'll see what happens with that as free agency comes along, as offensive line is probably one of the most stacked positions going into free agency out of any position, you know, in the NFL right now. So I'll hold off on him, but I already said Amaro can be your in-line type of blocker. I hope he does improve as a blocker, because having him as a blocker and a receiver, obviously, the spread at Texas Tech, and then Nunwa, who's a glorified H-back, both them coming to the same offense where they'll both be in, you know, tight end sets and things like that, I think that'll be a nice breakout type of duo for us, so that'll be very interesting to see. And then you mentioned Nunwa, who I mean, you mentioned Devin Smith, who, you know, didn't have the training camp this year with the Jets, got hurt, didn't play into the kind of like the middle. I feel like the middle of the season, maybe like game seven or eight, he came back. I forget what game he came back. And in the end, you know, in the last couple of weeks, he got hurt. Is not probably not going to have a camp next year too, which really hurts him. So he's a question mark for me right now as a third receiver of this offense. That's a big question mark, because you always talk about the Jets not needing receivers, but if Devin Smith can't go and Newton was an H-back, Tompkins, are you going to re-sign him? You know, the depth of this receiver position right now is a question mark, so we'll see what we do with some of those guys. If we bring them back, let them go, look in the, you know, later rounds of the draft, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, whatever it may be. But I agree. Nunwa, Morrow, and Devin Smith are nice guys to look at. Hopefully Devin Smith can step up and come back from that injury. So those are some nice guys to look at for offense. And defense, Vinny, I'm going to tell you, like the two guys that I'm most excited about is Maldon. We've talked about Maldon a lot. I'm not sure if he's going to be the full-time starter. He's going to come back and play. You know, he's going to be playing in zones where he has to cover and read the quarterback or take the running back. So I'm not too sure he could do that yet. From what we've seen in his 253 snaps, which was 24% of the offense, he was only rushing the passer. So we're not too sure what he can do in pass coverage. But in those 253 snaps, when I'm getting four sacks, it's really impressive. Even if you triple his snaps, he plays 75% of the snaps. You're looking at 12 sacks, just the averages of what he did last year. So hopefully he can do that. I'm really excited to see him again. And then Leonard Williams, man, which is all obviously dependent on what happens with Wilkerson and Sheldon and Damon Harrison, where he'll be playing, how much he'll be playing. But the stat that I was talking about, if people were listening last week with Glenn, when I wasn't sure about it, was Leonard Williams has more combined hits, hurries, and sacks on a quarterback than Wilkerson, Sheldon, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Marcel Darius, Sue, and Gerald McCoy did in their rookie year. So that's the stat I was thinking about, but that's freaking nuts. So I'm excited to see what he does next year too. Vinny, are you excited for those two guys? You got different guys, or what do you think?
Yeah, you know, those are two guys who, you know, I would also like to pick. But, you know, going off those guys, you know, those are the young guys who, you know, like you said, you just highlighted a bunch of their stats this year. Those are guys who the Jets are going to rely on for years to come. So hopefully their sophomore seasons can be, you know, really breakout years, because these guys already had a nice beginning to their careers, you know, with Leonard Williams, with over 63 tackles and three sacks his rookie year, you know, and he's a big guy. Like I said, he gets to the quarterback at ease almost sometimes. And then with Lorenzo Maldon, every time he was on the field, he was in that backfield causing havoc. So those two guys definitely, you know, I think we expect, I think Jeff fans and the Jets themselves expect those guys to have, you know, really, really good sophomore years. But two guys I'm looking forward to seeing play again this year, one is Calvin Pryor. Calvin Pryor, who really had a great year considering what he went through his rookie year. He went through hell his rookie season, and the way he came back was a true professional way. He came back and really played an excellent season, you know, paired up with Marcus Gilchrist in their first year, you know, as tandem safeties. But I'm looking for Calvin Pryor really to step up in more of a way to getting, you know, fear. You know, we saw the Giants game when I forget who came across the middle, when he lit him up, you know, there was that type of fear that he instilled into the quarterback, type of fear he instilled to another team's offense. I wanted to see that, you know, game in, game out. I think we did a lot, you know, early on in the year, and then throughout the season, you know, he didn't progress, but there wasn't that it factor anymore, it felt like, watching him play. But he really did have a good sophomore year, so I want to see Calvin Pryor, see what he can do in year three. And then another guy, this may surprise a few people, I want to see D. Milner. He's a guy who may not even make this team. He may be cut, you know, coming into the season, but I think when everything is said and done, and it's week one in this, you know, the 2016 season, I think D. Miller is going to be lining up as a starting cornerback for the Jets. Hey, calling it now. It is. Just wait. I mean, this guy, you know,
Is he not having a training camp, lining up, playing three snaps and getting injured, or what is his plan?
Hey, just wait. Hey, I think there isn't going to be Antonio Cromartie on this team coming to the season.
Wow.
We'll say that for
so you're, so,
Exactly.
Yeah. So Nick, Nick agrees with me there that he. But so Vinny, and you're talking about Cromartie. You're gonna cut Cromartie, so that you're bringing it from what are we right around $11-12 million. So let's bring it up to $19-20 million. And I was actually gonna ask you if you are gonna cut Cromartie, which we figure right now, if we had to guess that they're going to do. I don't think they'll bring him back on a reduced salary. They might. But if you cut Cromartie, then are you happy next year going into the season with obviously Revis is number one, and then guys who is a potential breakout candidate too, and Marcus Williams, who we saw what he did in his right around 300 to 350 snaps. He got, you know, six interceptions or five or six interceptions, whatever he had. He had six interceptions, and he was up there with guys who played 700 more snaps than he did. So are you happy going into next year with Marcus Williams and Dee Milner, like, you know, fighting for that spot, considering Dee Milner's health and Marcus Williams, we haven't seen him too much other than that 1 year? Or do you, are you looking to sign a guy like a Sean Smith from the Chiefs, or a Gerard Powers from the Cardinals, or a guy I really like is Janoris Jenkins from the Rams? Or, you know, considering the salary cap and what the Jets need, do you go in with Marcus Williams and Dee Milner? Because let's face it, if this was Madden, there's no salary cap, yeah, it's on Janoris Jenkins and all these outside linebackers and offensive linemen, but you have to look at it relative to the cap. So what would you do with cornerback number two going into next year?
Well, you mentioned Cromartie. And again, the age with Cromartie and the way he played, obviously he played terribly. Then when you look at the reason I say that Dee Milner is going to be a starting cornerback is because he only played eight games his last 2 years. He hasn't been healthy. When he's healthy, we've seen what he can do, and it hasn't been much. I'll tell you what, it hasn't been much.
When, though, is the problem.
Exactly. You know, it's been 2 years since he's been healthy. There was a reason this guy was drafted in the ninth overall pick for a reason. Then, even if it's not him, no way you go out and sign a cornerback, because you have guys like Marcus Williams. You have Dexter McDougal, who played pretty well, given the circumstances when his name was called. So I don't think when you look at this Jets cornerback position, look at the needs on this team, cornerback is not a need. I think Darrelle Revis, the way he played at the end of the season, I'm not going to say it was a fluke, and I'm not going to say it's a concern heading into the season, but that's something that is just going to happen. You know, when he's going up against these fast receivers, that's going to happen, I know, against Darrelle Revis. It's just the way the game is. And Buster Skrine, he's another guy who really shined his first, I would say, 6 to 10 games, maybe 6 to 8 games. Then you talk about a guy who really fell off towards the end of the season, Buster Skrine. I really like how he played early on in the season. But, again, I like Dee Milner. I like Dexter McDougal. These are young guys who you don't know what you're going to get out of them unless they play. And when Dee Milner was healthy and he played, he shut down some good receivers. Granted, that was 2013. And granted, he had one tackle last year. He played 8 games in the last 2 years and very limited time. But when he's healthy, he's one of the better corners. He's a good cornerback. He's when he's healthy. So
yeah, better retract on those. One of the best cornerbacks.
I know. He was one of the best cornerbacks in college football coming out. Reason granted, he was a top 10 pick, but you've got to give a guy a chance to play. And considering all the, you know, what we had 23 free agents heading into the season, the Jets can't invest the money they did into the cornerback position, because there's other needs, this offensive line, this defensive line, getting to the quarterback. There's a lot of needs, and you can't be investing $8 million, you know, into a number two cornerback in Antonio Cromartie, and the way he got beat up. That's just unacceptable. There's a reason the Jets didn't make the playoffs. I'm not saying that's one of the major reasons, but when you invest that much money into a position that doesn't perform the way you're being, you know, the way you're paying it, that's what happens. So I think the Jets, you know, there's time to move on for the cornerback position. It's time to get younger and faster, and that's what Dee Milner is.
If I had to guess right now, considering the holes outside linebacker and considering the holes at even quarterback, because the Jets technically don't have a cornerback or quarterback right now, you still have to sign Harrison. You still potentially franchise tag or sign Wilkerson. So there's not a lot of money to be thrown at cornerback position. So I think next year you go into the year, Cromartie's gone. I think Marcus Williams is the number two starter next year, if I had to guess. And then you have Buster Skrine as number three. And then you have guys like Dee Milner and Darren Walls and Dexter McDougal kind of fighting it out for that fourth, fifth, sixth spot. But I don't think Dee Milner – I think the Jets and the organization want to see him come out and be healthy in, you know, the fourth position, the spot starter. If Marcus Williams or Revis need a break, then he comes in to see if he can be healthy there, because he hasn't been healthy for even training camp. So who says he could be, you know, healthy for the number two corner position? So I don't think you go into the year necessarily depending on D. Miller to be your number two. I think you kind of put him as your fourth or your fifth and see what he can do, because this year we didn't see him at all. I didn't see him line up at cornerback once. He was all on special teams, so we didn't see him at all when he was healthy. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't sign a free agent corner either unless they come at a, you know, Janoris Jenkins comes over and says, you know, hey, I want to get here for $3 million because I love it so much. But obviously, that stuff doesn't happen. But, you know, moving on now, we're talking about you talked about cutting Cromartie. Something we haven't talked about, because I think it's been kind of already a painted picture that the Jets are going to get rid of Kurley. Just want to confirm that with you. Do you think the Jets are getting rid of Kurley? You know, 16 receptions, 152 yards last year, 2 touchdowns. You know, while like years in like 2012, he had 827 yards, 56 catches. So we've seen him be productive. And then 2013, 14, like right around 40 catches, 450 yards. So do you save that $2.6 million, I think it is, right around Vinny and Kurley? Do you try to give it another go-around with him, with the unknown in Devin Smith? Or what do you think the Jets are going to do with Kurley?
I mean, I know. I think we both like Jeremy Kurley, but just not a fit anymore. It's just – something isn't clicking with Jeremy Kurley and the coaching staff, or just Jeremy Kurley as a receiver anymore, because there, he had – I'm looking at the game logs, and he only had five games where he had a reception. His last game that he had a catch in was week 10 against Buffalo, that Thursday night game. He had one catch for 7 yards. So, hey, if you're not going to use him, there's really no reason for him to be on the team, and if you could save a few million bucks, then you should do it. Let him go out. You know, there's no reason to have him on the team and just to, you know, to – just to collect a roster spot, because, you know, again, you can save a few bucks in a time where you need a few bucks. So I think it's time to, you know, to go on from Jeremy Kurley. There's a lot of players like him, you know, small, shifty guys you can pick up off the practice squad or draft late in the rounds, like Jeremy Kurley was. He was, what, a sixth or seventh round draft pick. So, I mean, he's replaceable, but
yes,
I mean, he was a guy who a few years ago was our leading receiver. So it's a shame, I think, the way everything happened with Jeremy Kurley, but I think it's safe to say he won't be a Jet come next season.
Yeah, I think now that you're talking about cutting Cromartie, that's $8 million, and then Kurley is another 2.6, I believe. Like I said, we'll ask Jason Fitzgerald next week on some of these cuts and contracts, because I'm not exactly sure, but that's already $10.6 million added to the 11 or – so you're right around 21, but you still have to sign Fitzpatrick, Harrison, or you're tagging Wilkerson. So there's a lot of moves to be made, and this is, like I said, a really interesting offseason for McCagney, because he has to make decisions on in-house guys before, you know, coming in last year. Like I said, with Glenn last week, walking into Vegas, you know, spending all this money, around $60 million to spend. So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, now I've been hearing names too. We talk about Kurley, we talk about some guys in-house. I think we both agree that Brandon Giacomini is gone. We don't have to talk about that. That's another $4 million. So now you're looking at right around $15 million the Jets just made from cutting their own guys. I think Brandon gets replaced. I believe you do too, Vinny. So we don't have to hit on that. But some other names I've been hearing about, the, you know, guys who've been not returning to their teams or whatever it is. Matt Forte. What do you think about Matt Forte coming to the Jets? Obviously, now you're assuming that Ivory isn't here. Powell isn't here. Yeah. 31 years old. LT came at 31, I believe, too. So he had a couple productive years. He's been a great all-around back his entire career. Last year, 898 yards. He had right around 400 yards receiving. He had 8 touchdowns all around. So do you sign a guy in Forte who's getting older? Because this is the age where running backs start to really decline, right at the 30, 31 mark, whereas you see steep decline in their play. So do you sign Forte? Are you looking at a guy in the draft in the third, fourth round? Or are you looking at guys like Alfred Morris, who had 751 yards last year? Are you looking at a guy like Lamar Miller? What are you paying for Forte? You know, what do you do? Or what are you doing right now, Vinny McCagnan?
I personally love Matt Forte. I think he's a great – when you look at the Jets and what they did this year with the running back position, how they wanted to use Ivory in between the tackles and then Blah Powell with, you know, with the receiving game, I think Matt Forte is a perfect fit between those two guys. He has 44 catches last year. He's a guy who had 100 catches, 74 catches in his career in his last 2 years as a running back. He's an all-around guy, but again, you mentioned the age. Right now, he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 in December. So I think he's a guy who has a lot of, you know, he's a lot of wear on his tires, but I think he's a guy the Jets should definitely give a call, considering, you know, who they have number 15 lining up, one of his former teammates, Brandon Marshall. I think Brandon Marshall could be a great recruiter in this instance because, again, the Jets need a guy. And you're talking money with Matt Forte. The guy got his payday ready. So, I mean, I think obviously he still wants to get paid. I think, you know, anywhere from maybe $3 to $5 million, because when you ask a lot of out of running back, and Matt Forte has been very reliable. You talk about healthy guys who's he has played, you know, 13, 16, 15, 16 games in his career. He's a guy who doesn't get hurt. So, you know, when you look at a guy, especially all the things that he can do, like you said, 898 yards, but he's a guy who has rushed for over 1,000 yards 5 times in his career, who has done a lot. he's done a lot as a running back. You've seen it. You know, I know I've been playing fantasy football for a long time. He's a guy who I always liked on my team because he can do a lot. He's going to get 15 to 20 carries and then 5 catches a game because that's just the type of back he is. Again, he's 30 years old, and when you look at this Jets offense, you know, you figure, say, Fitzpatrick is back. He's old. He's 30. He's going to be 33. You got Brandon Marshall is 30, what, 31, 32. Then you have Decker who's going to be 29. So these are some young, old guys, but I mention that because when you have older guys, usually that means that they're in a win-now situation. And Matt Forte, he's not going to want to come to a team that's not in a win-now mode because of his age. So I think the Jets are very appealing. I think the Jets would be smart to at least give him a call, you know, set up a meeting, have Brandon Marshall, you know, maybe try to lure him in. Because this guy, if you add him, I mean, if you add him to this offense and you expect Jason Morrow back, you expect Evan Smith some back, you know, back at some time in the season, you know, that's a pretty damn good offense when you factor in Fitzpatrick, Marshall, Decker, Matt Forte. And then, hey, you never know with Dre Archer. I'm not going to say Dre Archer is going to be an impact player, but if you can maybe get back Bilal Powell and Matt Forte, I mean, these are things you got to consider, especially if you're cutting all these guys, if you're going to cut Breno, if you're going to restructure Brick, you're going to have some money to spend in some needs. And, you know, one of the bigger needs that's needed is a running back. And this is a guy who can do it all. You talk about an all-around type of running back. This is a prototypical all-around running back in Matt Forte. So when you ask me if the Jets would be smart to go after Matt Forte, I think it's a no-brainer. I think it would be dumb to not go after Matt Forte. Considering what's on the market, you mentioned Alfred Morris. I mean, me personally, I do not want Alfred Morris. I don't want a big 250-pound running back going in between the tackles on an average to below average offensive line. That's just me. And Matt Forte, he can still make a few guys miss. Again, he adds that elusiveness out of the backfield. And then, again, it's a position the Jets need. So Matt Forte, I think that'd be a smart option. I would say maybe, you know, a 2-year, 3-year deal, 3 to 5 per year, something like that. Maybe $8 million guaranteed. I know, something along that. I mean, that's why we're talking about it. We don't know the numbers as well as, you know, a GM would. But I think this is something that the Jets have to at least attempt, because when you look at the Jets roster, you know, you see it all around Twitter and all these websites that the Jets have a pretty damn good roster. And after next season that, you know, this could be a team that can make that leap. You know, can they copy the blueprint off the Broncos, who can, you know, make a playoff push next year? Because these are guys, again, who are up there in age. You look at all around the best players in the Jets, Mangold, Marshall, these guys are older in age. So, you know, the window is closing for these guys. And you factor in all the young pieces on the defensive line, you know, Darrell Revis, he's 30. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pieces that go into this. And Matt Forte, I think he would be a great fit with the Jets.
Yeah, no, see, now there's a lot of layers to this, because now you have Matt Forte, who's going to be, like you said, 31 in December. So how much guaranteed money you're going to sign on to, how long of the contract, because there could be a steep decline, mm-hmm. So you don't want to get stuck in a long contract. I don't think he's going to go for around 3 to 5. I think he might try a little bit above 5, because he can point to all of his accolades. He can say, look at this year with 40, 50, 60 catches with 1,000 yards, with all these touchdowns. A little bit of a down year last year, but I think just based on his accolades alone, he's going to demand a decent amount of money. But if he was looking for a 2-year deal, $9 million, 4.5 guaranteed, then yeah, I you would have to consider it. But at the same time, while the Jets do have a win-now roster, they have a young roster too, because you have guys like the Calvin Pryors, the Sheldon Richardsons, the Wilkersons, the Leonard Williams. While it is an old roster, there's a base of people you want to build around. So do you want to sign a guy in Forte who's going to be here for a year or two, or do you want to let Ivory Walk sign a guy in Bilal Powell who we didn't mention as a breakout player of 2016, but who we probably should have, because him as the number two back or more 50-50 kind of role with another back, I think he could be a breakout candidate. So do you sign Forte? Do you sign a Lamar Miller, who in his 4 years only has 38 rushes, so he's been underused? I think for the same money or a little bit less, I'd like to go Lamar Miller, a guy who I think is all-around back type of guy who can block, who can catch, who can bring it to the outside, go to the tackles. I think he can do everything. So if it was my opinion, I would say go for the younger guy in Miller, who's, 24 years older than the guy in Forte, who's 30, to try to build around that base that I said, the young base we have. But if Forte is coming for a reasonable price, I don't see why the Jets would just completely shoot down the idea of having a guy who's that talented be the number one back for a year or two. So that's an interesting situation to watch, but I understand both sides of it. I'm not really sure where I stand. You know, really good player, or do you get younger with a guy like Lamar Miller, who I think is underrated in this league and who's a really good running back, who's in demand around the same money to a little bit less? Or maybe you look at a guy like a James Starks, who's been in a number two role, and have two number two guys, and then you draft a guy in the fourth round or the third round, and then you kind of have a three-headed monster type of thing instead of a number one primary guy like Forte. It's going to be interesting, man. March 9th starts all this, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. But talking about more free agency, we mentioned all those guys now, and something I heard about that I didn't even click on it, honestly, because there's so many smoke screens and things that people are saying now that I'm not sure is going to happen, or 99% of the time doesn't happen. But Kirk Cousins, Vinny, what do you feel about that? I'm hearing that him and the Redskins are hitting some stalls in their contract talks. Kirk Cousins, obviously, last year, 29 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 4,100 yards, a little bit over 100 yards. A guy who's probably going to be demanding around $15 million a year because he's younger now. He's only been in the league for a couple of years, got drafted in the third round, or was it third or fourth round when RG3 was there. They got drafted the same draft, Michigan State. Do you go for the younger guy for the more money, unknown in the offense, or do you sign the Wiley vet Fitzpatrick for $10 million, guy who's already known in the locker room, or do you try to fix it with Kirk Cousins? Maybe you sign Kirk Cousins for 3-4 years, and there's your solution, the young guy who, in a new offense.
Man, hey, me personally, I'm not really sure where I stand on Kirk Cousins. This year he did well. Like you said, 29 touchdowns, 11 picks, but that's why we're here talking about it, because the Jets don't have that much money to spend. Definitely not the money that Kirk Cousins wants. They broke off a reason. I think he wants a big deal. He's 27 years old. He wants that six, seven-year type of deal where he's getting paid $100 million. He's getting that $50 million guaranteed. And to be frank, the Jets don't have that. And I really wouldn't invest that much money in a guy who has 47 career touchdown passes, and he really did. I'm not too high on Kirk Cousins. I'm not high enough to make him a franchise quarterback, especially the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick played. And if you can get Ryan Fitzpatrick for a two-year, $18 million deal, I think that's a much better solution, considering that Ryan Fitzpatrick has already played a year under the system with the two guys, Brandon Marshall and Decker, that chemistry is such a big thing in this league. Kirk Cousins, played pretty well considering, all the things that happened with DeSean Jackson, how he's a head case in the locker room, and Pierre Garçon. But, me personally, I would say no with Kirk Cousins. It would be nice, I guess, if they can get him for a three-year deal. I really don't think that's what the Jets are going to head into at all. I don't even think they're going to, even think about it, because it's not the Jets. I don't think he fits with the Jets. So, they got a guy. They got Fitzpatrick for a few years, I think. They get him two years, three years, whatever it is with Fitzpatrick. I think he's their guy for, the foreseeable future, not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins costs more money, unknown in the offense, but it's interesting because Kirk Cousins is a younger guy, but At the same time, the Jets, like we've been saying, don't have a lot of money. Brandon Marshall, the Deckers, all these guys want Fitzpatrick to return. So it'd be a shame to break up the locker room who wants a quarterback back and then not bring him back and bring in a different guy to see how the chemistry works and things like that. If Kirk Cousins is playing this way, the 29 touchdowns, 11 picks kind of years for 2-3 years, then yeah, maybe I'd want him. But people don't forget that, you know, the years before this year, he wasn't too good. 2014, 10 touchdowns, 9 picks. So more money, a big risk. I don't think I'll look at Kirk Cousins right now. It would be interesting to poke the tires and see, but it's Fitzpatrick. It's Fitzpatrick's team. The Jets want Fitzpatrick back. Fitzpatrick wants to be back, and the team, the players want him back too. So it's interesting, but I'm going to say no. But now, Vinny, something I want to ask you before free agency comes, and we are going to get to Wilkerson, we're going to get to Sheldon and things like that, but if you're going into free agency and you know the Jets can only sign a one big player at one position, not even necessarily big, let's not say big, because the Jets don't have money to be spending money like Ndamukong and Suh and those kind of guys, but one position in free agency, what position are you looking at for the Jets to upgrade, specifically maybe right tackle, outside linebacker? What do you think the Jets should need to go after? Where maybe the other pick, or let's say they get an outside linebacker in free agency, they can go after a lineman in the draft. What do you think the Jets have to get in free agency? I don't know how to ask it really.
The Jets have to get in free agency. They have to get a lot. If you're telling me we have one guy to get, if it was a perfect world, I would get Bruce Irvin from Seattle. I mean, I'm not sure if he's going to be available and all that things, but I think if you can add a Bruce Irvin to this type of defense, and if you can keep intact Muhammad Wilkerson, if you can franchise him or whatever and keep him on the team, if you can add a Bruce Irvin to a Lorenzo Maldon, have those two guys go at it. Like you said, Lorenzo Maldon played in a quarter of the snaps and had 4 sacks. So you figure if he gets a starting nod, him and Bruce Irvin rushing the quarterback with this defensive line, I think the Jets can go and do things that our defenses can't, especially when you have the secondary that they have with the Calvin Pryor, with the Gilchrist, with the Revises of the Jets. I think if you can add a guy to get to the quarterback, because let's face it, over the past, since we've been a Jet fan, their struggle has been getting to the quarterback, and that's something Jets have to address. They try addressing it with, old and, wash up players like Jason Babbins, like having Calvin Pace at the end of his career go in and try to get a sack. It's not pretty to watch those type of guys go after the quarterback. And if the Jets can go out, get a Bruce Irvin, maybe try to get a Danny Trevathan or something along those lines, a guy who still has some valuable years left under his belt and can get to the quarterback, I would go after a top defensive, outside linebacker, defensive end. Obviously, Bob Miller would be, a Christmas for all of us, but he's not going to leave. But Bruce Irvin is an interesting guy because I think the Jets can make a play on him potentially. So that would be a name. If I'm the Jets, if I'm the Cagnon, and we need a position, hey, they need a lot of things. You mentioned it. you mentioned right tackle, it could be left tackle, it could be running back. It could be a lot of things. So I think the number one key, though, is getting to the quarterback, because entering last season, we heard it nonstop that Coach Bowles, with all these tactics, all these blitz schemes, that the Jets are going to be, top 5 defense and, get 50 sacks. Remember the show we had in preseason? Oh, we predicted the Jets 45, 50, 55 sacks. They ended up with 39. So that's very, it's unacceptable considering the team that they had. So they need a guy to get to the quarterback, but I think Bruce Irvin would be a hell of a guy to add to this team.
Yeah, Bruce Irvin's a nice name. The only problem with Bruce Irvin is I'm a little bit worried is that he's inconsistent. Sometimes he played in a 4-3, obviously, so it's a little bit different than a 3-4, even though the Jets do give you multiple looks, as the Seattle Seahawks do. So if I had to say, I'm gonna go with offensive line, just because looking into free agency now, and I know a lot of people are going to get re-signed and tagged and traded and second-round tendered and whatever is going to happen. There's a whole bunch of things that happen between now and March 9th and when we can actually start signing players. But I'm going to go with the offensive line just because I think offensive line is the deepest. You have guys like Andre Smith, Barksdale, Schwartz, Bobby Massey from Arizona, Josh Boone, right guard. There's a whole bunch of guys who I'm looking at in the offensive line group in free agency right now, and I'm thinking who could be potential replacements for a guy in Brett Giacomini who really underperformed the entire year, who has played his time here. He needs to go. I'm looking at right tackle and hopefully to go in the draft in the first round. What do you say?
So that was you being nice towards Bruno.
Yeah. That's being generous to say. I can't say things I want to say. I'm on the show right now about Brenno Giacomini, but I'm going to say offensive line. And Vinny, next question, and something I was thinking about all week, and I've been talking about trading Wilkerson, and yeah, you know, three guys for two positions, blah, 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 but at the same time you're bringing up things like he got 12 sacks this year, 12 and a half sacks, and we're all worried about how we need to get to the quarterback, and we need to get to the quarterback next year, but then you're talking about trading a young guy who got the most sacks forced and who's the biggest part of our pass rush. Let's say you do get rid of Mo. You trade him, you tag him, whatever you do. Are you worried that in the coming years about Sheldon's money and how he's saying, you know, he deserves $100 million and both him and Mo do? So let's just say Mo is gone. Are you worried about Sheldon?
Okay. Am I worried about a guy who drives 143 miles with a kid in the car with a gun under the seat? Am I worried about investing $100 million into that type of player? Huh. That's a good question. It's a very good question. I mean, the obvious answer is you don't invest in Sheldon Richardson. If you had a chance to invest in Mohamed Wilkerson or Sheldon Richardson, I think the obvious answer is Mohamed Wilkerson. Sheldon Richardson.
But say, Vinny, really, really quick, the thing with Wilkerson, obviously if they're both free agents at the same time, let's say Sheldon and Wilkerson were free agents, one you had to tag and trade and one you had to sign, we obviously also say Sheldon. I think 90% of Jets fans would say just trade Sheldon because of his legal issues, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, the legal issues means you're going to get less compensation for Sheldon. So in your perfect situation, since you are more worried about Sheldon, do you tag Mohamed Wilkerson for the $15.5 million? You wait it out for this year. You see Sheldon's disciplinary actions. You see how he acts. And then you sign Mohamed Wilkerson to a long deal during his franchise tag and then trade Sheldon? Or are you trading Mohamed Wilkerson now, eating up Sheldon's next, you know, 2-3 years of very minimal money, you know, not top defensive end money? It's hard, man, but what are you going to do?
It is. It's very difficult when you're considering a guy, like you said, 12 out of 39 sacks on a guy who's, you know, a big defensive. I mean, he's technically, I guess, a defensive end, but he's a big dude. He's 300 pounds going after the quarterback. He shouldn't be putting up 12 sacks the way, you know, the way that the Jets defense was outlined. He's a guy who should have been like 7 or 8 sacks maybe, and a lot. You know, he's been known for that run stuffing, you know, presence. But he's a guy who played out of his mind this year, and played worthy enough to get a big contract. But he wants that Marcel Darius money. He wants that $50 million guaranteed. So right now, I mean, I would tag him. I would tag him, try to work something out, because they've been trying to work something out with Mohamed Wilkerson since Izik was here. So, I mean, this is, you know, going back 2-3 years now, trying to work something long-term with Mohamed Wilkerson. It's just something is not – I don't think the Jets are willing to give him that type of money, even though they know how valuable he is. And if they're going to wait on Sheldon Richardson and see if he can give us a full year with 10 to 12 sacks, it's very difficult, like you said. But right now, I would franchise Mohamed Wilkerson for this year, because again, 12 sack guys don't come around too often. And you know, you mentioned the base, you mentioned all the players on this defense, and Mohamed Wilkerson is one of the best players on this team. There's no way you can, you know, just let him walk. So I mean, it's. Do you trade him? I don't think you trade him. I mean, I was hearing some things that
so
are talking
if the Raiders,
to Raiders, but
if the Raiders walked up to the Jets right now, they called the Jets. They said, you know what, we really like Mohamed Wilkerson. Him and Khalil Mack next to each other next year would be fantastic. They offered you their 14th pick. Are you doing it? Or are you going to say nay and you're going to tag Wilkerson? Because they consider think about it too. When you tag Wilkerson for that $15.5 million. We don't have that much cap space. Now you're signing Fitzpatrick. And Damon Harrison's gone, man. It's one or the other. So Damon Harrison's now gone. You have to decide between Wilkerson and Sheldon next year, because you still have Leonard Williams and you don't have the defensive tackle. So you're depending on a guy like a Deion Simon or a guy in free agency. So
yeah.
Are you trading for the 14th pick
or are you
tagging him?
If the Raiders offer the 14th pick for Mo Wilkerson, I would take that very quickly if I'm the Jets because, again, like you said, on a team right now we don't have enough money to give him the franchise tag. So they got to make moves, and they will make moves. I think they're going to make a lot of moves. You know, we mentioned a bunch of them, and I think that's going to happen. But if the Jets can get the 14th overall pick, and that would open up a lot of money, considering they don't have to spend any on Muhammad Wilkerson. And then, you know, you bring back Snacks, and you have Sheldon, Snacks, and Wilkerson. I mean, and Leonard Williams. So you have those three guys. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, that's why there's only 32 GMs, but if the Jets were to be offered the 14th pick right now for Muhammad Wilkerson, I think the Jets would have to take that. It sucks. I mean, it sucks the situation is because, again, everyone loves Mo Wilkerson, and it's hard to trust Sheldon because, I mean, how can you trust a guy who did what he did this past offseason and the way he talks about how he wants to get paid that $100 million? I mean, it's really hard to invest in that type of player, but right now it's tricky. I mean, we'll see what they can do with restructuring all these deals, if they can get a lot of money and keep Mo Wilkerson and, you know, see what happens with Sheldon. I would be surprised if the Jets got offered the 14th pick and we saw that they said no. Tricky, man.
I was actually on Twitter, and at that very moment, I think if I had to, I would say yes, because now you're freeing up that $15.5 million that you'd sign Wilkerson for. You give that to, let's say, Fitzpatrick and Damon Harrison. They're both signed now. With the extra money, now you're signing, like I said, that outside. Let's say they sign that offensive lineman that I was talking about. They sign Massey.
Yep.
He's a new right tackle. And now, considering that you have that right tackle in the offensive line, the first round, you have the 14th pick. So, okay. You see Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky there. Now he's your new outside linebacker. So that's another starter for him. Said you're using the 14th pick. And then after that,
you do a lot of things.
Let's say the 20th pick. You see Jared Goff there. You know we have Fitzpatrick here for this
year.
How you
doing?
We've never developed a quarterback. We never developed a quarterback. So now he's going to develop while we got that new offensive lineman and outside linebacker. So now we have a quarterback. So I think it's worth it. I do. And I love Wilkerson. I love his home. I love the whole hometown thing. I like that he's quiet. I love that he's a leader and he's our own young talent. But dude, when you're a win now team, you don't have a lot of money and you're overstacked at a position. And we're talking like not overstacked where there are a couple of decent players. We're talking Wilkerson, Sheldon, Leonard Williams type of players at two positions. I think you do it, but which leads into my next question, Vinny. Let's say it's hard to pick a scenario, but let's say the Jets do trade Wilkerson to get the offensive lineman in the first, or let's say they don't get it. This is a better conversation. Let's say they don't get the pick, they franchise Wilkerson. And now with the first pick, let's say they have three guys on the board. They like a tackle. They like Ronald Stanley. They like Ed Noah Spence, the outside linebacker. But then a Jared Goff is on the board at 20. And I've heard Jets fans talk about this, like, oh, my God, you know, the Jets cannot take a quarterback this year no matter what. They need an outside linebacker. They need offensive line. If you have three guys of you know, equal value at their position, are you taking the quarterback or are you taking the outside linebacker or the lineman? Because I think it's foolish to completely write off the quarterback where the Jets have been looking for a quarterback since we've been Jets fans. One and want to develop him for a year or two, I think it's foolish not even to consider it. But what are you doing in that situation? Because that's another tough decision with the Jets with so many holes in the draft. Do you draft a development guy when you're a win-now team? Or do you take a win-now type of player, an outside linebacker, but then ignore the future when Fitzpatrick is obviously leaving in a couple of years because, let's face it, he's no spring chicken.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff, it's hard to ignore a guy who throws for 43 touchdowns, a guy who's 6'4", with a cannon of an arm. It's hard to ignore that. And if you have the opportunity to take him with a 20th pick where I think I would be shocked. I'm not shocked if he was there, but, I mean, there's a good chance he might be there for the Jets. There's a lot of options at the quarterback position in this draft that I think will be there for the Jets to take. And I think in the past, when quarterbacks are drafted, late in the first round, you know, Aaron Rodgers, for example, let's just say how he was drafted so late, you know, developing for a few years. And I'm not saying Jared Goff's going to be no Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's how these things are. They have to be done. And the Jets can do it the right way. And they say they draft a quarterback in the first round. You have him learn under one, or if not the smartest quarterbacks in the league, and Fitzpatrick, you know, and have a Brandon Marshall and have Eric Decker, have a bit of the ability to learn from these all-pro, you know, receivers and one of the smartest quarterbacks. I think that's a smart thing to do. Will the Jets do that in a win situation in a season where they just won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs and they have a chance to take a Spence or they have a chance to take a Jalen Smith or something along those lines? It's a tough, it's a very tough decision. Me personally, I would go quarterback because, again, they're saying, I mean, the scouts, we've seen it all, and we're going to see it leading up into the combine, and we're going to see it, you know, up until draft day, that these guys don't come around too often, these franchise quarterbacks. There's a handful in the league. And if Jared and the Jets think Jared Goff can potentially be that guy and he's there, I think it would be, you know, bizarre to not take him. I mean, yes, there's a lot of needs. And, yes, there's going to be a lot of question marks heading into camp and heading into the season even. But if the Jets can answer one of those question marks with Jared Goff heading into the future and have the, have their guy for the next, you know, 10 years, I think it would be foolish, very, very foolish to not take him. That's what I personally think, man. I mean, it's hard to decline a quarterback of that, you know, of that stature. So, I mean, would you do it? I mean, I think I would take the quarterback.
Yeah, and this is the reason why, you know, you watch Wilkerson highlights or you see your Wilkerson jersey hanging in the closet, like, oh, the Jets got to sign him. But then when you think about it analytically and what the Jets need, considering money and position, whatever it may be, you're getting rid of that $15 million. You're retaining your nose tackle snacks. You're getting, Fitzpatrick back. And then let's say now you want a right tackle. You want a Stanley. He's a right tackle. And then in a couple of years, he replaces Ferguson. So now you have that right tackle. In free agency, you sign a Brandon Brooks or an Alex Boone. So now you have a new right guard. So now you're looking at Nick Mangold, James Carpenter, who we all thought was probably the best offensive lineman on the team next year. You're looking at Boone at right guard, who's a very good right guard. And then a new 14th pick rookie at right tackle. And then at 20, Noah Spence drops. And then in the second round, you want that quarterback that you want to develop. You bring in a Connor Cook, and he competes with Bryce Petty in a couple of years for the starting spot. So that's a lot of players that the Jets need. And then you can look at free agency. Obviously, there's some other needs. Maybe you sign Brandon Brooks and a kick returner or a fourth wide receiver or whatever it may be, or depth at offensive line. But if you get one of those positions and then you can stack an offensive line, a backup quarterback who can potentially be the answer in a couple of years, or an outside linebacker in the first with his first three picks, I think Wilkerson has to be gone. That's just my opinion. It hurts to say it, but looking at it, what we can sign and what we can get with the draft pick we get with him, I think you have to heavily consider it. And I know that both me and you would do it. So it's going to be very interesting. And last topic, Vinny, unless you have anything else, is we've been talking about the quarterback. We just talked about the Goff, and it doesn't have to be necessarily Jared Goff. It can be Wentz, or it could be Paxton Lynch. I just said Jared Goff as an example. So it could be, you know, Lynch or Wentz, or whatever it is, or Connor Cook in the second round, or Hackenberg in the second round. But we know quarterback's a need for the future. We know outside linebacker is obviously a huge need that Calvin Pace is leaving. We have Maldon and Trevor Riley right now at outside linebacker, basically. And we all know offensive line's a need. We've been talking about it for weeks now, weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks. So in the third of seven round, we've been talking about the first and second round a lot. And let's say the third of seven, we have a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh. We're giving the sixth for Fitzpatrick. What are some positions that you're going to look at? Because we know what the major needs are, but if you're looking at some secondary needs for this Jets team that we can address in the fourth, fifth round, let's say you get a starter at a position in the fourth round and a special or a spot starter in the fifth and sixth at some positions, what are you looking at? Or even development guys. Obviously, you can develop a guy from the sixth round. What are the secondary needs of this Jets team that you're looking at in free agency in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about, you know, developing a draft, it's what good teams do. They draft well and they develop their players and they turn them into good, you know, good players. That's what good teams do. What the Jets need to do, I think, and The first round is, I think, first round, just get the best available player, whether it be a Goff, whether it be whoever the case may be. Whoever the best available player is, I think the Jets would be smart to take him. Then heading into the second, third rounds, a name I like is a guy by the name of Shaq Lawson. He's a guy from Clemson. He's a big 5-pound rusher who can get to the quarterback. I was seeing some things that he may fall to the second or third round. But and obviously, we're miles and miles and miles away from the combine and the draft. But the Jets need, like you said, special teams has to improve. They got their new coach. They got to get Jeremy Curl is gone, and Devin Smith isn't ready by opening day. Who's going to be that punt returner? The Jets got to do something there. I would like to see them draft late in the draft. A fast, shifty, slot type of receiver, like a Jeremy Curley type of player, a younger, faster Jeremy Curley. I like to see that. Offensive line, I don't think you can't have enough offensive linemen. If you can get if you can get somebody in the fifth round, let's say, and develop them and get them in a few games here or there as another eligible tight end, how they can do that during some plays. Offensive line, defense, when you say secondary options, I mean, you really got to develop every position. I think, I think they're just going to look at best available. What they didn't do last year, and what they didn't do is get to the quarterback. Obviously the question marks with Mo Wilkerson, that's going to be a big, big fact and big indicator of what they're going to do in the draft. So to see, watch that situation play out, it's going to be key what they're going to do. Hopefully McKagan has a plan, plan in place, because this is a guy, like you said, had all the money in the world. Now let's see what he can do when he has to draft well and has to, sign smart and get players to perform out of the draft. Another position, running back. You talk about that first round. It's Ezekiel Elliott's there, the 20th pick. Do you take him? Who knows what the Jets are going to do? I know it's tough drafting a running back in the first round, especially when you have all the needs that the Jets have and the way that, drafting running backs historically isn't probably the best thing to do. But if Ezekiel Elliott's there, a guy he got 1,800 yards last year, he had 23 touchdowns on the ground. His guy's just a tank, Derrick Henry, who knows? It's tough. It's really tough to try to analyze these college players who have all these stats, 25 touchdowns as a running back is just unheard of. Like Derrick Henry had this past year at Alabama. Obviously, obviously that transforms to the NFL game, but with the Jets, like we said, they need a running back, they need offensive line help, they need defensive line help. I think this draft, you're going to see them go all over the place, really. It might just alternate between every round, offense, defense. So, it's really that, that large in needs for this team, and no other way to get better to address, their needs in the draft, to get young, fast, new players in a system which they can learn. And, the Jets have some good guys in place. Like you said, they got a good core. They got a good foundation being built right now. If you can add that, add a few late gems in the draft, because you look at the Marcus Williams, the guys who weren't even drafted. You look at the Chris Ivories, the guys who were undrafted. And look at, under the right coaching, under having, the right system, they can be pretty damn good. So the Jets can find, one of those guys this draft. It would be successful, I think. But, again, early on, I think the Jets have to do is, just go, and then obviously we're going to dive into this, in weeks from now when the draft is here. But the main thing is just get better and get better at, just get the best available player. That's, one of the things I like to do come draft time. And this is something the Jets have to do because there are so many needs, bud. So many needs. But, again, there's a lot of things they got to address, so. A little bit of, to answer your question, to sum it up, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, no, we all know the major needs. We'll see what happens with free agency, with the outside linebacker, quarterback, offensive line. I think some secondary needs, and these can all change come draft day or come March 9th if they sign. Maybe they don't need a running back. Maybe they sign a Lamar Miller. Maybe at tight end they don't need a blocking tight end if they sign one. Maybe they don't need a receiver or returner because Travis Benjamin comes, so that cancels out. But other than the outside linebacker position, the quarterback position, the offensive line position, some positions I would like to see them get younger at in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds are obviously running back, depending on who we sign. But running back would be nice to get a nice shifty guy like the Duke Johnsons of last year, who I wanted. Match him up with Powell and whoever we get, or Powell and just that guy. We'll see what happens. So running back might be a need so bad that we might need one in the second, third round, or maybe we trade a pick for a guy or whatever it may be. But running back, middle linebacker, I want to see, because even if the Jets do sign Aaron Henderson, which it sounds like they will, at least from the early point of view, but then you still have two guys who are getting older. You have Taiwan Jones, who I believe will be the third middle linebacker on this team this year. I think that he developed nicely last year, and we'll see what he does this year. So I'd like to see another middle linebacker taken, a blocking tight end taking, an offensive lineman, even if the Jets do get the Brandon Brooks, the right guard, and then a right tackle in the first round. Who's backing up the Brickashaw Ferguson? Ben Ajalana. Who's backing up Nick Mangold? Wesley Johnson. So those are guys we'd be really fearful to see them play if they had to come in for spot duty if one of those guys got hurt. Cross our fingers. So offensive line depth. The receiver returner, Tyler Lockett type of guys of last year, a guy who could, you know, break open a screenplay or take a kickoff out to the house, I think is a need, maybe fourth, fifth round, whatever it is. And then another need that I don't think people are talking about a lot, especially if the Jets cut Cromartie, and we'll see what happens to D. Miller. But let's say D. Miller and Cromartie are gone by this year or next year. You're looking at Revis getting older. You're looking at Marcus Williams, Darren Walls, Dexter McDougal, who's still a huge question mark. So maybe they decide to take a guy, a corner in the first couple of rounds, and he develops behind Revis, and then he's ready to step up when Revis is gone and Marcus Williams. So there's a lot of needs. There's a lot of secondary needs, like I said, in my opinion, running back, middle linebacker, tight end, offensive line, receiver, and corner. So it's going to be very interesting as we keep talking about it, but tagging periods now, the 25th, I believe it is the combine. So you start getting into the combine a little bit when that comes around. Then we have 2 weeks away from that. We have free agency coming, which we spent a whole month on free agency. And then by that time, we're talking a lot more about mock drafts and talking to draft people about who's going here and who's going where and what and why and how and where and all this stuff. So we're through the dog days, Vinny. We're really starting to get into the moments where you get to start talking about actual players getting signed or not signed, or not now. We're hitting all the smoke screens, and there will be a lot more smoke screens to come, but we're over the slow period of the off season now. Now we're going to start seeing some tags. Maybe by next week we sign in here and we'll get the tag. So stay buckled in. It's going to be interesting. A lot of things coming off season. Training camp's going to be here. 53-man roster is going to be soon. Me and Vinny are going to be paying hundreds of dollars for season tickets and going on trips.
It's
coming soon. It is always football season. Football is the one season where it never ends because of the draft and free agency. So we're excited to get into it next week too. Like I said, check out the JetNation.com forums. Jason Fitzgerald from Over the Cap will be here next year, so you're going to ask him questions. You can even tweet us questions or email us questions at joeandvinny@jetnation.com, whether it's about Curley's contract, how much we can get from cutting him or Breno or DeBrickashaw Ferguson or Mangold or whoever you want to hear about their contract. Wilkerson, obviously, we'll ask him about him. Sheldon, so there's going to be a whole bunch of things to talk about with him. That's going to be exciting. That's it. We had a good show, Vinny. Any last words? Any thoughts, comments, anything?
Hey, I mean, it's February, man. We got right now, it's hockey and basketball. It's pretty boring stuff. Got 2 months till baseball, but hey, football.
Especially
right
when the Knicks
corner
are losing, and your coach is going and hooking up with Matt Barnes' wife and taking pictures.
Well,
and
hey,
Porzingis.
Have you seen a picture of her? I don't blame him, but I just want to say, hey, thanks everyone listening out there. I know our boy Grudy's out there tweeting at us all day. So, it's always fun to just talk Jets for an hour out of the week in the middle of February because, hey, man, what the hell else is going on? We're constantly thinking about the Jets. I got them in school. I'm here with a freaking cast. My whole arm is there's just nothing going on. So we're just thinking about, the future, thinking about the Jets. I mean, it's going to be right around the corner. Sooner or later, sooner it's going to be summertime. We're going to be out there preseason. Before we know it, the season's going to be here. So, just stick with us, and, it's going to be soon. These things happen very fast. Before you know it, it's going to be free agency, like you said. But, hey, it's pretty exciting still. It's exciting stuff, and it's only February. So I can't imagine what's going to be like in April, May, and June, July. So, it's going to be fun, bud.
Yeah, I think this is going to be our actual first off-season free agents and drafts and stuff like that. We'll be on the radio together,
right,
or podcasts or over the airways, whatever you want to say. But exciting times. We'll actually have topics to talk about now, which is going to be fun, to talk about the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
But like I said, thank you everybody for listening. The whole bunch of listeners every week, it's awesome. We appreciate Nick in the background always doing the sound effects and running the Twitter and doing all the things he does. So we thank him. Thank you for all of our listeners, and we will see you next week.